anytime you get into a trade, I think you have that extra emotion because you're like, did I pick the right spot? Is this trade taking me closer to my goal or taking it further away from my goal? And just, you have so much more attachment to the possibilities and the outcome of the trade than the trade itself. Which one of the emotions, Tracy, do you think causes revenge trading?
I think confirmation bias. That's number one, because you already have a preconceived notion of what the market should have done. And therefore, the fact that it's proving you wrong, there's that you haven't capitulated your decision. You haven't realized or come to terms with the fact that maybe your analysis was incorrect and you need to change it. That I think is there, plus fear. I think that's a combination of the two. But for me, I think that the revenge trading really comes in from coming from a place of needing to be right. All right, and welcome back, everyone, to the RLT Pivot Podcast. My name is Tracy, and I am joined with my incredible co-host, Mr. Dan Jansen. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing fantastic. Appreciate you asking. And back for another episode of the Real Life Trading Pivot Podcast. So couldn't be more excited. This one, I think, is I think we'll actually get a lot of chat interaction on this one. So for this podcast, we want to talk about the emotions and bias in trading, how to overcome the fear and greed of and bias that is in trading. So first of all, Tracy, why is there so much emotion in trading?
Why? Because we're emotional beings. I guess that's the only way that I can say it. We have something to gain and something to lose. And anytime you have something to gain and something to lose, there's going to be some kind of an attachment to it. And that's just life. It's the reality of it. So the big, I guess, challenge is getting to a place where you can still have your feelings, but it doesn't negatively impact your performance. And that's really the stage of progression from a new trader to a successful trader, versus one that washes themselves out. So that's my opinion. I don't know. Maybe you could add something to that.
No, I think you're right on. I think with trading, so realistically, we're just trading dollars back and forth, mm-hmm. right? We win some, we lose some. The dollars themselves are meaningless. I think trading is one of the probably most emotional things out there, because it's not so much the dollar itself, it's what the dollar represents, right? So if you're like, hey, I really want to go on this vacation. I really got bills to pay. I got to send kids to school. I want to get generational wealth. Whatever your goal is, or whatever you want to achieve, you need some kind of money to get there to do that. So I think once, and I think we do have a little limited belief in how much money we can make, especially if you're a new trader, beginner trader. And then also, I think you have a little bit of, I don't trust myself on trading. So I think that combination of limited belief of how much I could make, and then when you actually are starting to make it, you're like, this is weird. Bizarre concept for me, because maybe somebody came from a 9-to-5 job and every 2 weeks they got paid. That's what they used to live on. And now you're financially being supported by up and downs, right? And then anytime you get into a trade, I think you have that extra emotion because you're like, did I pick the right spot? Is this trade taking me closer to my goal or taking it further away from my goal? And just, you have so much more attachment to the possibilities and the outcome of the trade than the trade itself. And I think that's what causes people to irrationally make probably some moves based more on emotion than realistically what they see on the screen.
So what kind of emotions are typical negative biases, I guess you could say?
I think you do have the fear, I think, is a huge one. I think the self-doubt is another one.
Okay. Confidence.
But then I think there is the greed in it of, mm-hmm. on the other hand, I mean, there's people who maybe don't have the limited belief and they're like, I need to be a millionaire today. Right. And mm-hmm. they have a $10,000 account to start with. And they're just letting things try to run for as long as possible. And just, I need to add on. I need to put more risk onto a trade than I normally will. That all, I think, falls in the category of greed. So I think that will play into a lot of the greed aspect. And then the bias of, I have to be right. I think that's another emotion that I think we get. So just I saw the trade. I saw the setup. It looks exactly what I've seen before. This is definitely what's going to happen. This market's going to go up. This market's going to crash. And whatever that bias is, you can get into a lot of trouble with the bias of not being able to kind of be a little chameleon and adapt to the environment around you.
Right. I think there's also another emotion, and that's the loss of aversion. So, or aversion to loss, however you want to say it. But that I don't necessarily know that that's the same thing as fear. I mean, it is to a degree, but I think it's a separate issue that can be addressed altogether as well, because it kind of ties in with fear, but it also ties in with being right or not being wrong. But it also comes from a place of lack of abundance, or not recognizing that you're in a place of abundance, or not being in a place of abundance. So trying to hoard, more of a hoarding mentality. That's also an emotion I think that's key. So let's focus a little bit about on fear, I guess, and how, or what are some of the signs or some of the behaviors that a trader is doing that is a result of being in a place of fear?
Well, I had one person in my mentor group that was a very good trader. Mm-hmm. And that person just, she would send me the trade. She would send me the setup. She would say, this is what I'm trying to take. And I'm like, oh, this looks good. You made 2 hours on this trade. No, I didn't take it.
Okay.
So just the avoidance of being able to really click the button. And
yep.
I mean, with that one person, it was like consistent. Like, did you trade anything today? No, I didn't. Like, it was just like an overwhelming thing. I'm like, just click the button. Just lose a couple times. It's okay. You're still living and breathing after the trade, so don't worry about it. I think just maybe not to that extent, but even you see the setup and you just have, again, probably a little bias tied in of like, no, this can't be bouncing here, or this. And I think that will affect you to not take the trade. And then I think when emotion starts to come in as you're in a trade, that's where I think you start to focus more on the dollars, what the dollars represent to you, as opposed to what the candles are actually telling you, right? And if you're just following the candles and following the sentiment of the market and moving your stops appropriately, you're able to hang into trades a little bit longer. You're able to make smart decisions about this one trade should not affect your overall trading career. Doing the same thing over and over again and just kind of building the consistency up, that's what you should rely on. That's how you become a successful trader. So once you get too emotional on one trade and then you repeat that process over and over again, it starts to be a negative connotation for you, where it's, you just don't really ever as a trader break out and start to move to next levels.
Right. So the fear is going to keep you from actually engaging and getting into trades. One of the other things that I think fear can do is actually get you out of trades too soon too. So there's the two. And what about greed? What are some of the symptoms of being in a place of greed?
I think when it comes to greed, in some sense, kind of like the movie Wall Street, where he's like, greed is good. To an aspect, greed is good, and that will help you stay in the trades. Those people have the ability to hit the 2R, the 3R, the 5R trades, and that's fine. More than not, you're probably staying in it for too long.
Yeah.
And eventually those trades end up pulling back and you end up making less than if you just stuck to your targets, right? So a lot of those times, and most of those traders will only remember like, hey, I hit, and that's the ones they'll tell their friends, hey, I hit 5 R's on a trade. I made this much money on this trade, this much on the other trade. But like, if you actually go back and look at those trades, you're like, well, I could have made a lot more if I was just hitting the smaller targets, right? You don't have to hit the grand slam every single time. Stack some wood, build that fire, and then once it's ready to go, you can make your move. So greed, I think, could keep people into trades too long. Mm-hmm. And then oftentimes that's where the bias now sets in too, of like, it's definitely hitting this $100 target, it's going there for sure, and it starts pulling back, and you're like, no, it's gonna come back. And now you have that bias of like, it's going to hit this target, and eventually become a bag holder on.
Yeah. The other thing too is, you know, let's say you have a plan set up and you have a target, and as it's approaching your target, you decide, I'm going to move that target. And you need to address the reasons why you're doing that. And if it's from a place of wanting to capture more versus a place of, you know what, this is really strong and it doesn't look like it's going to be settling down anytime soon, I'm going to increase my target for whatever reason. If there's a technical reason that supports the rational decision to make the move, then that's okay. But if it's based on that, just wanting more, that excitement, that emotion that's attached, that feeling that you're getting because it's doing well and you just want to keep getting more and more and more, that's the mindset part, the thought that triggers the behavior that can lead to the problem. So we have to pay attention to the thoughts that we have in our brain and analyze those thoughts and really take check to those thoughts when we are placing trades and when we're in those trades to identify kind of where we're sitting on the spectrum of these emotional biases. So that's a very, very key point. Now, what about confirmation bias? What are some of the behaviors? What is confirmation bias, first of all? Let's explain that to our audience.
Yeah, so confirmation bias is when traders seek information that supports their existing beliefs while disregarding contradictory evidence, right? So right. That realistically could prevent traders from objectively assessing market conditions and adapting to the new information as opposed to what they were kind of basing their trade off of prior.
Right. And I would love to ask the entire audience, because I know that I've done this before, and I don't know, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, Dan, because you're such a rock star. But when you're in a trade or when you're setting up a trade, and let's say that the market's going up because you did your analysis and you determined, you know what, we're coming into resistance, and you decide to try and short the market and it fails and you lose, and then it goes up a little higher and you short it again and you lose, and you just keep doing it all the way because, hey, the market's got to go down because your analysis says that it's short and it needs to go short. How many people have done that? And if you have, you know, throw it in the chat right now with the live. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you know, throw it in some of the comments below. And just identify the fact that that is one of those things. And that is an example of confirmation bias that is a very negative impact in your trading. Have you done that before, Dan?
Yeah, I think I've done everything you could possibly do. But, and honestly, I don't recommend the path that I took to get to where I'm at as far as trading and being able to do it for so long, because I've made probably all the mistakes. And that's kind of why I love the podcast. If we could help somebody avoid at least one mistake, that will help push them a lot further, right? But I think it was a natural part. Like, for me, I needed to go through a lot to get to where I'm at, right? I think in terms of even the bias confirmation, that's when you typically, like, I would say you are doing that if you are constantly doubling down on bad positions, right? They tell you, in trades, if you have a losing trade, don't keep adding to that trade, because essentially what you're just becoming a bigger mess of losing trade, right? It's you're probably wrong on the position. It's better just to lose the money than to keep on doubling down. And I've seen it in both ways, where people will start to win on trades. I personally, and tell me how you feel about this, but I've had some traders, and I know there's a bunch of people that kind of teach it like this too. I want to say it's a little more like scalping more than anything, but they start to hit a winning position. And as it starts moving in your favor, you keep adding and adding and adding as it's moving higher. Right. My personal problem with that is you're like, okay, good. Now you're starting to hit those positions and you're starting to make more money, but you get that one big nasty candle that goes against you and you're averaging your price up the entire time. I could understand to a level of degree, like, as long as it's pre-planned, you want to average down on a certain position, especially like long-term and stuff like that. I'll do that all the time, a dollar cost average. But when it's a trade, it's a little different. And I know there's a whole school of people out there that will add on the way up. And for me, I just can't figure it out. But is that something that you would do, or?
Yeah, absolutely. I will. But it's not just, for me, it's not just random. It's if something's working, let's say I see a signal and it starts going in my direction, that's great. And then I see another signal that I would have taken as well. So if I was already going to take that trade, if I hadn't been in the other one, I'm going to throw another R at it and I'll let it play out. All I'm doing at that point is increasing, I'm removing some risk off the table. And yes, I'm cutting into some of my potential profit, but for me, it's still managed correctly. I still know what my position size is. I still only have one R at risk, and my position is calculated based on that. So I don't have a problem doing that at all. The other individuals that I've seen on YouTube that trade this way, first of all, they have extremely fast trading platforms, that's number one, because they have to react quickly. And I would say, yes, most of them, the ones that I know that do this type of trading, are trading with more of a scalping kind of technique. And they do that. But like I said, a lot of these traders are going to be using Dash Trader, which has direct platform, and it's just hot keys and quick keys, and they can execute really fast. There's absolutely no way that I could do that. So yeah, I don't have a problem doing that at all, but I don't necessarily feel like that's confirmation bias per se. I feel like more confirmation bias is fighting the trend, for instance, insisting that things have to go down, and therefore you look for signals that are going to justify what you're already thinking. So instead of seeing that the market is crushing higher, you start looking for, oh, that's a double top, or, oh, that's a 10 EMA strategy for a short side, or that's a reversal candle. And you're ignoring all of the other signs because you're basing it off of one little thing. Oh, it's oversold on the RSI. Let's sell. That's confirmation bias, because you're really rooting it in a preconceived bias and looking for something that's going to support your underlying decision. That's where you can get into a lot of trouble. So that's just my opinion. But anyway, it's just a different school of thought. So
yeah. I think the one thing that you said, that I think if people are going to trade that way, I don't trade that way.
Yeah.
But the one thing that you said is manage your risk, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So as if you're going to dollar cost average higher, make sure that your stop is moving accordingly. Make sure that you understand the full process. When they do it on YouTube and when they do it on other trading platforms, things like that, they do it. And in for what they're doing, whether they're a lot of them that don't have hard stops in place, they're kind of eyeballing. I've seen a lot of stuff, but traders that I see that are trying to imitate or do that, their stops in the same place. Now they have 2, 3, 4, 5 hours of risk on the table.
Yeah.
For a trade that's
I completely agree. And I've seen that too, right? So it's you know, when you buy into strength, which is ultimately what you're doing, you're buying into strength, you need to also sell into strength, not wait for that weakness. And that's why it's more of a scalping technique for me, because otherwise it can turn on you very, very, very fast. And same with going the other way. When you're selling into weakness, you're going to have to buy back into weakness as well, instead of waiting until it turns around and gets into the stronger side. Cause you're putting yourself at huge risk, but right. No, absolutely.
And now, and just a word to everybody, just based on how I trade, based on how Tracy trades, it doesn't mean that that is the absolute correct way to trade. So anything that we say, there's a other whole bunch of ways. We know what works for us, and that's what exactly we found to be successful.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of different ways to trade. So just keep in mind, the best trading strategy is the one that works for you. So make sure you backtest, you trade it. We've talked about that till the cows come home, but make sure you know what you're doing, of why you're doing something, and always know what your risk is on those trades.
Yes.
Because again, just following somebody else's trade is not always the best solution.
Yep.
Do what's right for you in terms of your trading. And then Wynn brings up a good keyword here, revenge trading. Which one of the emotions, Tracy, do you think causes revenge trading?
I think confirmation bias. That's number one, because you already have a preconceived notion of what the market should have done. And therefore, the fact that it's proving you wrong, there's that you haven't capitulated your decision. You haven't realized or come to terms with the fact that maybe your analysis was incorrect and you need to change it. That I think is there, plus fear. I think that's a combination of the two. But for me, I think that the revenge trading really comes in from coming from a place of needing to be right. And one of the things that I teach my students is that whole concept of being right. I think, first of all, if you are trading your plan, and I've said this a few times on this podcast before, but I'll say it again now. If you are trading your plan, first of all, and you're coming up with a plan before you get into your trades, and you're doing a proper analysis and determining, okay, this is what it's going to look like if it's successful. This is what it's going to look like if it's not successful. You have two scenarios in play, and you acknowledge that the market or trading is not a guarantee. You're trading the odds and you're looking for high probability setups. If you've done all of that, once you execute the trade and the trade takes off and does whatever it does, whether you actually win on P&L or whether you lose on P&L doesn't matter. You are right because you made a plan for if the trade goes in one direction and you've made a plan for if the trade goes in another direction. And therefore, if you execute that plan, you are correct. You prepared for it. And that's really a mindset shift that needs to be addressed. And it will definitely help with the revenge trading. But that's my opinion. I think it comes directly from the confirmation bias and fear, those two places. Do you have a different opinion on that?
No, I think you're right on. I think it falls into the concept of you as a trader is never wrong. It's always the market that's wrong. So you're like, I can't be wrong. The market messed that one up. So I'm going to just hop back in and I need to win on my setup. But
yeah,
I think in that moment, if people just step back and they're like, I lost, but there's a thousand, there's way more than that amount of stocks that I could choose. There's setups. The market's open for the rest of the day. The market's back open tomorrow. And I think people get lost in the moment of I need to make money today as I need to make generational wealth for the future.
Yep.
Right. If you're stepping back, understanding the bigger picture of what you're actually trying to do, which if you go to work and you have a 9-to-5 job, you're making money to pay bills and anything left to put to your family and do vacations or buy a new car, whatever it is. Right. But when you're trading, it's not a guaranteed paycheck that you have. You're trying to, like you said, play the trades with the best probability on it, trying to make the most you can from the market, but it doesn't have to come today. Right. If you lose an R, even if you lose 2 hours in a day, tomorrow's a new day. It's a new market. You'll see the market differently. Just because you're down two, the worst thing you could do is go, okay, I'm down 2 hours. If I trade one more time, whatever, I'll be down to three. And then you're still sitting there because you lost that one. You're down three. You're like, all right, I'm going to go for four. And now all of a sudden you're pushing yourself so much further where it's just that much harder to make that money back.
Yeah.
Where if you're down 2 hours, okay, that's one trade tomorrow. Just read. Maybe you have a better read on the market tomorrow. You hit one trade, you're back to even. You have the rest of the day to now make some gains, right? Yep. And it's just getting caught up in the emotion of what I'm trying to do now as opposed to what I'm actually trying to do in a bigger picture.
Great point. And Dan, we're out of time. Looking forward to continuing our conversations next week with you. And that's pretty much it. So,
absolutely. And for anybody out there on YouTube or any of the Pivot or platforms where Pivot Podcast is hosted, make sure you guys check out the videos from the past seasons. We've talked a lot about past episodes here, a lot of information. You can find all those in those previous episodes linked right below, wherever the next video is. But you guys are awesome. Everybody in the live trade chat, you guys are incredible. And for you guys that listen to us each and every week, we appreciate you. We love you. And we'll catch you guys next week. Take it easy, guys.